This is the Double Play Podcast, talking nine innings of baseball. Here's Bonte Hill and Cody Paspey.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to this edition of the Double Play Podcast. Cody Paspey with you here at the KMBR Studios in San Francisco. And alongside me, as always, is Bonte Hill. Bonte, we got a lot to get into, man. I feel like there's a lot of drama going on in baseball, man.
It's been weird, and I believe the Cubs are stirring things up. People are acting jealous of the Cubs, but we got drama here in San Francisco. But of course, with the back of the rotation, I'm sure we're going to get into that right away. It's been great. It's been a great start. What a weird weekend, man. You got the Pirates struggling. You got the Cardinals struggling. You know, you don't know what's going on with the Dodgers. The Blue Jays are struggling. The Yankees, they just sent Alex Rodriguez to the disabled list.
They sent him the DL, by the way, and we heard there's more suspensions coming up. And, of course, everybody's saying, oh, is he really hurt? You really hurt, A-Rod?
He's hurt with that batting average. Believe what he's batting, 180 or something? Yeah. Which is still better than Troy Tulowitzki right now. So
it is. Well, maybe Troy turns it around. He's coming to the a National League park this week in San Francisco. We'll get plenty of him this week. We'll also hear from a young player you may not have heard of, but you definitely know the last name, Jonah Arenado. If that sounds familiar, yeah, he is the younger brother of Nolan Arenado. He is playing right now for the San Jose Giants. He was drafted just a few years ago. I had a chance to talk to him. Man, he was a natural. You put him on the mic, he just smooth.
Man, if he's anything like his older brother, the Giants have a diamond in the rough because Nolan Arenado is terrorizing the league, and especially the Giants. He makes AT&T Park look pretty small, and let's not forget that glove he has on the right hand.
Giants fans might want to get excited about this guy. We'll see, but we'll talk to him in the seventh inning stretch. Let's get things started in the first inning.
Play ball!
Talking about the San Francisco Giants, and it's been a little strange to say the problem with the Giants this year. Now, I know this past weekend against the Rockies, the offense wasn't really good, but I think we expect the offense to come around at some point. But the problem's been the pitching. And two guys in particular are really skewing things in the wrong direction, and that's the two vets, Jake Peavy and Matt Cain. Now, Matt Cain coming off of an injury, his first full healthy season back in feels like 2-3 years at this point. And he cannot seem to get out of the fifth inning. That has been the trend for his last few starts. As for Jake Peavy, we're at a point where it almost feels like all is lost with this guy. So, Bonte, are we reacting a little too quickly with these guys, saying we got to get him out of the rotation, we got to fix something up, we got to do something about these guys, or do you give him a longer leash? Because, I mean, this is a guy in Jake Peavy. This is a Cy Young winner. This is a guy who's played for Bochy. He's had success in San Francisco. Matt Cain has started an all-star game. He's done a perfect game. Do you give him a longer leash because of that, or do you say it's time to start looking at some options here?
Well, let's start with Jake Peavy. He's been undefeated at home since last July. Hasn't lost at AT&T Park. Now, all the starts haven't been great, but his last start at AT&T Park, believe he went 7 innings, shut down the Miami Marlins offense, which is no slouch. I mean, the Marlins have been hitting good. They've been playing good baseball. But on the road, it's just been an absolute – it's been a fire sale. It's been a tire fire. Hey, this guy, everything is up. He doesn't have the velocity like he used to have in San Diego and even in Chicago when he was with the White Sox. He's still pitching pretty good. It's a little worrisome with Jake Peavy. When you're leaving the ball up at 88 miles an hour, you're going to get hit hard. And what happened in Cincinnati and what happened in New York at Citi Field, that was a minor leaguer out there throwing batting practice. That was bad. So you have to worry. Now, are the options in the minor leagues better? We're all hoping that Chris Heston can get stretched out in time and join this rotation. But remember how Chris Heston's year ended last year. He hit that rookie wall. And, yeah, I know there were some injuries here and there, but he didn't look all that great, which has the fans gassed up on this Ted Lincecum workout that happened last Friday, which we'll get into later. As for Matt Cain, Cody, the velocity's there. The stuff seems there. He just has no idea where the baseball is going. And remember, he only pitched 6 innings in spring training. So, essentially, this could be his spring training. So, I'm a little more worried about Jake Peavy. Not to say that I'm not worried about Matt Cain, but I think Matt Cain deserves a longer leash, not only because of $21 million he's making this year and next year.
Kind of have to give him that long leash.
Now, with Jake Peavy, you might have to look at some other options here. We got to give Jake Peavy another month, but, you know, you can't waste these starts that Cueto, Samardzija, and Bumgarner's giving you. You know, you're wearing out the bullpen with the back end of this rotation, and that's concerning, especially with Jake Peavy.
Yeah, and, you know, I think you touched on it. The consensus seems to be Kane's got the stuff. There's some sort of mechanical issue going on that he needs to work out. Maybe a little time off. Maybe you skip a start, see if you can work that thing out in an extra bullpen session with Rigetti. See if you can fix that. Yeah, with Peavy, though, it's a little more distressing because, one, we've known this guy is legally blind for the last couple of years. And then when you add on top his stuff's not there, that's a recipe for disaster.
Right.
And you mentioned some of the minor league guys. There's not really much.
It's not there.
Right,
it's not
right
much
now.
There.
Chris Heston's your number one option. Right. And Heston, he pitched all spring with the idea that he was going to be the long relief man. Right. So he needs to stack up those innings until that arm is ready for going 5 to 7 innings per outing. Right now he's pitching in AAA in Sacramento, and I think he's had 3 starts. 2 of those starts he went only 4 innings.
Yep.
His 3rd start, he went the 5, and I think he gave up about 6 or 7 runs. Yeah. So he still needs a little time. I'm going to say he needs at least a month.
You know, Cody, this just reminds me of the Yusbero Petit move.
Yeah.
Where this is an under the radar move, Cody, where the Giants didn't re-sign Yusbero Petit. I forget the situation with that, but he's in Washington now. And essentially, they thought Chris Heston was going to take over that role like you pointed to. I don't know about that move, man. That is hurting the Giants because you don't have that long man now. And Bobby Evans, the general manager for the Giants, has said that, look, if we're going to go out to Lincecum, it's going to be as a reliever, which I find hilarious because you're telling me that Tim Lincecum couldn't do better than Jake Peavy and what Matt Cain's doing? I don't know. But like you alluded to, man, Jake Peavy, man, everything's up. His ERA's at 9. Everything's – that's the key. It's not how he's getting hit. Everything's loud off the bat.
Yeah.
There it is. Man, you don't have to – you could be reading a book. And you could just hear something. It's going for singles, doubles, homers, whatever. Cincinnati was just an absolute wreck. So
I would say this. I think he'll give it to the end of the month. Memorial Day, if these guys are still not figuring it out, it's time to look at your options.
Well, I don't know if it'll last that long, Cody, because this weekend they have to pitch in Arizona in the desert to a Diamondbacks team that's looking to get back on track. They haven't played well at all, and they're still in this race.
It's not an easy place to pitch.
Not an easy place to pitch at all. I think it may even go look at options sooner. Maybe Peavy gets DL'd. What do you think ends up happening midsummer? Is Bobby? Because the market for a starting pitcher seems to be a little dry at the moment.
Well, at the moment it does. But
and
you
we know that'll heat up.
Exactly.
The
Once the races really start to even out. I mean, the Philadelphia Phillies right now are in 3rd place competing for I think they're actually set in a wild card spot right now. That's probably not going to last.
A little premature.
They might be better than we expected, but that's not going to last. I think that they're going to have to make a trade. And I know everybody says Lincecum. Wouldn't it be great? Absolutely. It'd be amazing. But he's just as much a gamble to me as Kane or Peavy, maybe even more so. A name that I have been looking at, and there's not very many teams right now who are truly out of it, but one of them is the Atlanta Braves. And we heard Julio Teheran thrown around. Oof. And it would cost a lot. It would probably cost the Giants Christian Arroyo. It might cost them Andrew Susak. It might cost them another pitcher. But for a guy who's, 25 years old, maybe going on 26 soon?
You get him in his ballpark with Cueto. Ooh.
And right now, I think his numbers are.
You started something, Cody.
Yeah.
You started something here.
Yeah. I think it makes too much sense. He's got like a 3.68 ERA. Right. He's averaging almost a strikeout per inning.
Right.
And he's 0-3.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Braves. He's pitching on a bad team. You know they're going to be selling him.
They're going to be selling. They were talking about selling him this offseason. Now, is he going to cost as much as maybe Shelby Miller? I mean, Shelby Miller cost a lot.
I mean, Diamondbacks got fleeced there.
Yeah. And you can make the argument that Julio Teheran is more valuable.
Yep.
So we'll see. I think that makes a lot of sense, though, for both sides.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Braves trying to just get anybody. They
that's
just need bodies.
Call.
So we'll see how it goes. What do you think? You think they're going to trade?
I think the Giants always make a trade. If they're in a race, they're in a hunt for a while. And look, they went all in this offseason with Cueto, Samardzija, and then Denard Span. They want to get to October because if you get to October, you don't have to worry about the 4th and 5th starter as much. You'll have Bumgarner, Cueto, and Samardzija at least pitching 2 games apiece in the playoffs. Of course, if they make the championship series, you just have to make it to October. So I think they do look for an arm to get them to October to try to win this race and outlast the Dodgers and Diamondbacks and potentially win a wild card spot, because I do think there's going to be one wild card spot available. I believe the Mets and the Nats and the Cubs are pretty much locks to get to the playoffs. Cardinals, they have some work to do, and the Pirates have some work to do. So I think Bobby Evans and Brian Sabian will be on the horn looking for some pitching.
And despite all of this, no need to worry too much yet, because they're still tied for first place.
Still tied for first place.
I know they're only a game above 500, but still tied for first. No need to panic yet. Let's move on to the second inning. And we alluded to it in the first inning. Tim Lincecum, he had his showcase on Friday. MLB Network was showing it. I think CSN Bay Area was live streaming it. And I'll be frank with you, Bonte, I didn't watch it. You know why? Because it's a glorified bullpen session, guys.
Yes.
It's fun. I get it. The freak is fun. Baseball's more fun when Tim Lincecum is succeeding. And we want this guy to succeed so bad. I don't know if there's been a player in his generation who has been more universally beloved, not just here in the Bay Area, where he is among some of the most beloved athletic figures in Bay Area history. He is nationally beloved. People like this guy, and he's a fun story. From what we could tell from the briefest moments I saw of him, what did he throw, about 41 pitches?
41 pitches, yep. Hit 91, 92 on the gun.
Apparently the curveball had more snap to it.
Yeah, all that. The changeup looked filthy. And then he went and simulated an inning break where he went, sat down for a second, and came back out. Look, there was no batter in the batter's box. There was no umpires. It was 40 pitches. You think that velocity is going to be up there at 91, 92 when he gets around to the fifth inning, facing live hitting? Come on, people. I mean, and that's why you weren't the only one that didn't watch that, Cody. I purposely went to go watch a movie, went to go see Barbershop at around 2 o'clock just so I could shield myself, because I know if I was at home, I would have watched it, I would have tweeted it, and I might have been gassed up like the rest of the folks, but I did watch it. And I'm just like, how can I take stock into this, man? How can I put any stock into this? Like, it's a glorified workout, like you said. He's just playing catch.
Yeah.
He should have his stuff. He looked ripped. He looked fitted. But come on, people. Tim Lincecum's not ready for this.
Yeah, to me, I take as much stock into this as I do, like, a scouting, like NFL scouting combine.
Yeah.
Sure, it's fun to watch, but how are you going to do when you're on the field? When you're actually taking hits, you know? It's a little different than just running a straight 40.
Right.
And there's only so much you could take away from that.
Yeah.
I need him to face some live batters. Right. At the very least, have some hitters in the box and give him some feedback of like, hey, this, you know, fastball's looking good, your curveball snapping right, all that type of stuff. And that's not where we're at yet. It's an intriguing story. I hope he comes back. He's not going to want to come back as a long relief pitcher.
No.
I can guarantee you that. I know the Giants would love it. I think Giants fans would love it. And I think ideally, I think that's where he fits best at this point in his career. We saw it in 2012. What a huge, huge part of that run he was, just pitching 3 to 4 innings a game.
Yeah.
He was massive. And it was a big part of why the Giants ended up winning the second World Series in 3 years that year. I would love to see him become a starter again. I know there's some American League teams who are interested, maybe because, nobody knows him in the American League, but we'll see.
I think it is, too, Cody, is it's Tim Lincecum. He's going to sell you T-shirts.
Yes.
He's going to bring fans to the ballpark. He's going to bring extra press to the ballpark. Tim Lincecum is a show in itself. It's like a concert when he's out there pitching. People love the guy. He's, as you can see, he hasn't pitched well in, 3 years, Cody? And we still love the guy. So, I think it'd be great for him to come back to San Francisco as a middle relief guy, as a Yusmeiro Petit type of guy. He was great in the bullpen in 2012, I should say, coming out of the bullpen. 2014, really didn't pitch much in the postseason.
Wasn't a factor.
Wasn't a factor at all. We'll see, man. If he goes to the American League, good luck.
Yeah.
Because that is a hitter's league, and he will get torched
That's what I'm thinking, man. I think that's asking. I think that's wishful thinking that he'll just be able to fool everybody in the American League. And I've heard some fans say we're forgetting how good he was, and I would say the opposite. I think we're forgetting that for a couple of years there, he was legitimately the worst starter in all of baseball. Legitimately, I mean, it's not a question. You look at the stats; he was. It's sad. Nobody wants, and this guy is one of the most competitive guys we've ever seen. He's one of the most fun ball players we've ever seen when he is at the height of his game. Right. We all want to see it. I'm just not sold yet.
Not sold
absolutely
either.
Absolutely not sold. But there's going to be a team that's desperate enough. The Angels are losing starters left and right. The Padres need to put butts in the seats, and they could use another starter. I know the White Sox, they're even thinking about it. Losing John Danks, losing a couple guys, maybe as the back end of the rotation. We'll see. He's going to get a job. I think
that's
he's pitching.
Real quick, John Danks.
I mean,
he's been in American League. Might be washed, yeah.
Yeah. When's the last time he was legitimately good?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
Good call.
7 years ago?
Good call.
I'd take more of a chance with Lincecum at this point than I probably will with John Danks. But on Lincecum, love to see him succeed. Hopefully he does. Let's go on to the third inning. Stay in Chicago. The White Sox had the best record in the American League. Who would have thunk? I mean, they're looking spectacular. Chris Sale, 7-0. Is that right?
Yeah, easily the AL Cy Young Award winner if the season ended today.
And guess who picked him? Not bragging. Guess who picked him? But, you know, we might be burying the lead here. We talked a little bit about it in our last episode, but how about these Cubbies? They just swept the Nationals.
White Sox can't even get pub in their own city, man.
I know, right? They have their best years, one of their best starts in years. I want to say since the 05 White Sox team that won the World Series, and they're still second fiddle to the
second
Cubs.
Second fiddle, man.
Now, granted, let's give credit where credit's due. The White Sox are having a great year. Like we said, Chris Sale, he's awesome. But this Cubs team is off to a historic start. They're 24-6 after sweeping the Washington Nationals. They're 9-1 in the last 10 games. They've won 7 straight. Their run differential is just off the charts.
Hey, what is it, 102 runs they're outscoring opponents by?
It's just something ridiculous. I don't have the number up right in front of me right now, but my goodness, this team, we're evoking talks of the 2001 Mariners, the 116-win Mariners. I know they choked in the playoffs, but 116 wins is 116 wins.
How about the 1927 Yankees?
Yeah, they could even go so far to say that.
They are beating opponents by 3.4 runs a game.
Man.
1927 Yankees, 2.4 runs a game. What I'd love to see, that's not even the most impressive stat to me, though, Cody. What I'd love to see is pitches per at-bat for these Cubs hitters, because from Fowler to Jason Hayward hasn't done much, but Chris Bryant, Rizzo, Zobrist, even Javier Baez, who hit the walk-off yesterday to seal the sweep for the Cubs over the Nationals, they are working pitchers. These pitchers are getting to the fifth inning with about 80 pitches and already in a can. I mean, they are working pitch counts. Every time I see the Cubs play, 2-2, 3-2, 2-2, foul off a couple pitches, 3-2. I mean, they are working pitchers. That's the most impressive thing to me. Joe Maddon has these guys so patient, so disciplined at the plate. Rizzo's hitting now. Bryant's hitting. This team is scary, man.
Yeah, and oh, yeah, you've got 3 of the top 5 leaders in ERA on this pitching staff right now.
Right.
With Jake Arrieta, Jake Arrieta, a little off. He gave up 2 runs the other day.
Yeah.
Little off. It's incredible.
John Lester's back, and I think John Lester's back in this spot that he should be as a number 2 starter. John Lackey, you know what he's going to give you out that 4 or 5 spot. Jason Hamill, nice little bounce back season for the guy. And then when you have a lineup like that that's going to give you run support, it's easy to go out there and pitch.
Yeah, absolutely it is. This is such a confident bunch right now. I think they're on pace for 130 wins. Look, they're not going to get 130. Right. Let's get to 100, and then we'll start talking records.
I think 100 might be a lock for these guys, Cody.
Oh, I think so. I think the most interesting thing will be to see how early can they get to 100. They can get to 100 like beginning of September. Right. All bets are off.
I mean,
see what they could do.
Remember, National League Central last year was definitely probably the best division in baseball with the Pirates and the Cardinals.
And it still might be.
But the Cubs just went into Pittsburgh and swept them.
Yeah.
Easily.
I mean, the Washington Nationals got off to one of the best starts in baseball this year. They were a first-place ball club. When they entered Chicago, they leave in second place.
Right.
And they're still 19-12.
Now, that sweep, it's impressive as heck that the Cubs swept the Nationals. But those games, with the exception of the Max Scherzer game on Friday where he gave up 7 runs, that was a very good series. Very, very well-played series. I mean, what did it go, 13 innings yesterday, Cody?
Yeah.
Sunday before the Javier Baez walk-off home run?
Yeah.
The Cubs just keep grinding, though. They keep grinding. They keep working at you. You got to damn near play perfect baseball to beat this team right now.
Yeah, you really do. And I'll go back to the White Sox once again, and there might be some White Sox.
We just buried the White Sox.
We buried them, man. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Kincaid. Good. Sorry, Kolsky.
Yeah, we got some White Sox fans here at KBR.
We know about two of them.
Yes,
that's
two.
It. And I just named them.
There you go. But, hey, give credit where credit's due because they've got some really good wins this year. They swept the Rangers a few weeks back, swept the Blue Jays in Toronto. But that's a very competitive AL Central, just like the NL Central, right. And they are definitely staking their claim right now, 5 games ahead of everybody in that race. And the Cubs 7.5 up this
already,
early in the season.
Already.
Pittsburgh 17-14. They're having a good start. They're a solid start.
They're not bad.
They're second place. It's seven
second
and a half
place.
Back.
And the Cardinals are battling some injuries here. Colton Wong hasn't got going. Wainwright. What's up with Adam Wainwright? I believe his ERA is over 6 right now. Mm-hmm. He can't get going right. So, Cubs, man, I think they're going to run away with the Central. And what would be interesting to see with this Cubs team, we've seen this in baseball the last few years. We see it almost every year, where you get that team that's so far ahead in first place, they start resting guys. Or the intensity goes down because they're already locked in for the playoffs. It'd be interesting to see how Joe Maddon keeps his team hungry in September, because they could be up 10 games in September, 12 games. It'd be interesting to see how Maddon manages this Cubs team in September heading into the playoffs to keep this momentum going. I know I'm looking so far down ahead. Anything can happen, but this team's really good.
They are really historically good.
Historically good.
And if there's any guy I'm not going to question when it comes to, you know, making sure his guys are on top of it, it's Joe Maddon.
Now, with the White Sox, as we obviously buried the White Sox in this city, but can they sustain this, Cody? I mean, Chris Sale's been pitching great, like you said. Jose Abreu hasn't even really got going yet.
Yeah.
Todd Frazier has had some big hits, but he hasn't gotten going. Melky Cabrera's playing really well, Cody.
He is.
Remember that guy? And Adam Eaton in the leadoff spot.
Remember him.
Adam Eaton in the leadoff spot has been setting the tone for this team. Can they outlast the Royals? The Cleveland Indians all of a sudden look tough. They have the pitching. And I believe Carrasco is going to be coming off the DL in about a month. The Tigers been a bit disappointing, but can the White Sox sustain this and win this American League Central?
I say absolutely they can. I don't know if they will, but I go to their top four in that rotation, which is Chris Sale, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
We know the guy's an ace. The guy's probably your Cy Young Award winner if he keeps this up. It's very early, but who? I mean, it's Chris Sale. We know what this guy's capable of. Carlos Rodon, I mean, he's had some up and down starts, but the guy can pitch.
He's got the stuff.
The guy can pitch. Jose Quintana is having a fantastic start, and he's had some good years. And Matt Latos is really finding himself again in Chicago. I know he's slowed down a little bit, but this is a guy who's very capable.
Yeah.
We've seen it before. I mean, in San Diego, in Cincinnati, he is very, very capable. I mean, that's four guys right there who are legit starters, who are all excellent. If they can have those guys, all four of them, yeah, they're fine.
Yep.
Let's move on now to the fourth inning. And another week, another PED suspension. D. Gordon. It might be a little old news now, but it's worth talking about because there is also talk that this is not the last suspension we're going to hear about. But D. Gordon has been suspended for 80 games, bucking the trend, I would say, that we expect these PED users to be big, burly dudes who are hitting home runs. And no, you don't have to be.
You can be
a speedy contact slap hitter like D. Gordon. And it's a little shocking. I'd say this is one of the most shocking ones in a while.
Yeah, it was shocking. It happened on NFL draft night. And being here at KNBR when it broke at about 10:30. It was after the Marlins had just swept the Dodgers. And we're sitting here. I'm sitting here thinking like, oh, look at this Marlins team. Win the last game in a 3-game series against San Francisco. You go into Dodger Stadium and sweep them. Beat Kershaw in the last game. D. Gordon's starting to get going. And then it was like, wait, D. Gordon out 80 games? Wait, he doesn't have power. He doesn't hit with power. I already feel like he has natural speed. So why does he need PEDs? And how far back does this go, Cody? Because remember when he first came out with the Dodgers, he would have big-time slumps. He would have slumps to the point where they had to bench him.
Yep.
He was relegated to pinch hitting duty. So then he has a big year with the Dodgers, slumps in the second half of the season. They trade him. Balls out last year with Miami. I believe he won a batting title, correct?
He did.
Had over, what, 60 steals? This was a shocker, man. Yeah. And it just came out of left field. No pun intended, but it was just a shocker. And it was funny. The Dodgers tried to protest that game. Like, look, D. Gordon helped this team beat us. We want this game. We want to put this game for protest. It's just a mind-boggling one. This one shocked me.
Yeah, I think it shocked everybody in the baseball world because, like I said, we have this picture of what these guys look right. like, how they play when they're using steroids, and it's just not the case anymore. You know, we forget that using performance-enhancing drugs, it's not always just to bulk up. It's just to keep your endurance up. It's a long season, and by the end of a season, you are just absolutely exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Traveling, playing every day, working out, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And so it speeds up the recovery time. It just is easier to get up out of bed and get going. And of course, everything is heightened.
Right.
When you do, you know, it's not necessarily, so basically if you're a great power hitter, you're going to become an amazing power hitter.
Yeah.
If you're a good contact hitter, you're going to become a great contact right. hitter. You're going to become a great base stealer. And that's exactly what it was for D. Gordon. And I just want to put this to bed right now. Stop making the Bonds connection.
Please.
I get it.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha.
Very funny.
Yeah.
You know who I feel bad for here is his dad.
You know, if Barry got it, he would give him the good stuff.
Exactly. The stuff that gets you by. That yes. passes all tests. You know who I feel bad for, Cody, is his dad, Flash Gordon, who pitched in the majors mm-hmm. for a long, long time, bounced from team to team, good reliever, not great, but just did it the right way, it seemed. And then to see his son pop like this, wonder how he's feeling.
It's rough.
It's rough, man. It stains kind of the name. It stains that stained the Gordon family. And now I believe D. Gordon is not eligible for the postseason if Miami gets there.
Wow.
I believe with this new rule, I could be wrong. Twitter helped me out here. But I believe with the 80-game suspension, he'll get back, but he won't be eligible for the postseason.
That would
apparently.
Be a crusher.
And I think that's the new rule here if we look that up. So
yeah, that would be a crusher. Miami is still, I mean, it's, again, early. Everybody's in it. But they were kind of a sexy pick
yeah.
to be a competitive team going to the playoffs.
With Christian Yelich hitting the way he's hitting, yep. playing defense the way
Carlos
he's playing.
Starting to heat it up.
He's hitting – what did he hit? 495. They said 475. That thing had to be 490.
Yeah.
Had to be 500.
Yeah. So one time where you say it was almost 480 feet and you say, nah, it was longer
nah,
than
it
that.
It was longer than that one.
Yeah, and I mean, you know what, though? Despite all of this, Miami right now is 7-3 in the last 10.
Yeah.
Maybe there was
they've rallied around this, so yeah. Be interesting to see what happens with D. Gordon when he gets back. If he could sustain what he was doing, especially from the 2015 season, but it sucked. And it just shows, like, as you said, it's a shocker because we all think of PED users as these big home run hitters. And no, could be anybody out there.
Yeah.
Could be pitchers, could be relievers, could be closers. Eric Gagne comes to mind. And it could be speedsters like D. Gordon.
On to the fifth inning. And another pretty disappointing story. Slightly depressing. Pablo Sandoval. I mean, this is already... It feels like before the season even started, it was a lost year for the guy. And now he's out the rest of the season. He gets shoulder surgery. And, man, we saw him so much in San Francisco. And, sure, he had his problems. He had his weight fluctuations. But for the most part, the guy was one of the best hitters on the Giants year in, year out. You could always count on him. You could always count on him defensively. And this has been absolutely disastrous in Boston. And I got to say, I'm not that surprised that it's been this disastrous, Bonte.
No.
We all knew this was what was going to happen with the Boston media, right. And now you add the injury, and, of course, his job got taken away. He lost his job in spring training, the broken belt. It's just all – when it rains, it pours, you know? So is there a future for Pablo in Boston, or is he as good as gone as soon as they can trade him?
With the way Boston's playing right now, Cody, I believe they're in first place in the American League East. David
Close
Ortiz
it,
has
yeah.
gotten off to a torrid start. Dustin Pedroia seems to be back. David Price hasn't got going, but they're a first-place team right now, and they might just ditch Pablo. Take this as a loss and say, look, when they had Carl Crawford, this kind of reminds me of the Carl Crawford move without all the fanfare because Crawford basically left Tampa, and the Angels had a deal on the table for him, a lot more money than what Boston offered Carl Crawford. He went to Boston. Media ate him up. He hated it. Worst experience of his life. Now he's in L.A., and he's never been the same. Look at Panda. The Giants offered him more money. And granted, it was, what, $5 million? But the Giants offered him more money. and to go to Boston, where you know you're not going to be protected. He was a fan favorite here, man. The fans love him. Panda hats. He would have been. He would have gotten a pass here. He was suited here. He was great. And then what really hurts is he took the shot at the Giants last year. Oh, I didn't really have that many friends on the team, and yada yada yada. He talked all that gibberish.
Worst thing he could have done.
Worst thing he could have done.
Why is he burning bridges?
Why are you burning bridges? And now look at you.
Yeah.
You know, you're
on an island.
Now you're on an island. You can't keep your weight down. Now there's all these stories coming about his room service when he was with the Giants and how they limited his room service and this and that. I don't see him back in Boston. No way.
No.
At all. You?
No way in Boston, especially with the way I think Travis Shaw is off to a good start. He's playing good defense over there at third. And like you said, Boston is off to a pretty good start so far this season. Yeah, close to first place, if not right at it. And, man, we just all saw this coming. We just all did. We all saw this coming. This is the reason he went over there, because the Giants were going to keep so much check on him. Boston said they weren't. And look what's happened. It's become a disaster. It's become one of the worst signings in recent memory.
Yeah.
In free agency. And he won't be in Boston, but I just don't know where he's going to go.
Well, it seems as if he's played his way out of third base with his weight, his shape, and he can't move around as well.
Maybe he's DH next year when David Ortiz retires.
I still believe he could play some first base, because he is when he's in top shape, Panda can play some defense.
He can
play some defense. We've seen it.
Gold glove caliber a few times.
Gold glove caliber, and we're talking about him being one of the top 10 third basemen a couple years ago. Now you look at the pool of third basemen, we're like, Panda's not on this list at all. I do see a team taking a chance on him because he does have that. He can hit. He can play some baseball. Somebody's going to be desperate for him. But there's going to have to be these provisions in this contract to say, hey, look, man, you can't eat. You got to stay at this weight. You have to take this seriously. You have to take your weight seriously. Remember, there was an article a couple years ago, Cody, maybe even last year, where people felt like Panda – people around Panda felt like, you know, he may eat his way out of the league, but we're also thinking about his health. We're thinking about his health here because he goes back home and his mom makes all this. It was really riveting to see that story. I do think a team takes a chance on him, but like I said, there's going to have to be all these stipulations in his contract. We'll see, man. I look, it's tough for me to disrespect the guy because he did help the Giants win two World Series. The first one, he really wasn't a factor. It was like Tinlin Sekum in 2014, 2010.
World Series MVP, 2012. World Series,
man, three home runs.
It was amazing.
You know, balled. And then in 2014, had great at-bats in that postseason. It was clutch. So, I don't know, Cody. It's tough. Where do you see him going? American League, National League,
third base? There's no way he's going back to the National League. No way at this point. He's staying in the American League, and he is exclusively a DH at this point. I don't see him ever playing in the field ever again.
Wow.
He just needs to prove it. And he had a chance. He had a chance here to not be in check, to prove that he could control himself, that he can be the best version of himself, and he failed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to get that luxury wherever he goes from here on out. And it's his own fault.
Yeah.
It really is. And it's sad to see because the guy is absolutely a talent. And it's just too bad that he's not able to fulfill that right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll ever see him be what he was ever again.
No.
I just don't see it. On to the sixth inning now. Let's talk about what's shaping up to be one of the best races in baseball. And that is the National League East.
Yes.
It is stacked right now. I mean, you have your top two teams, obviously. The New York Mets. We know that team is just rich in pitching and also rich in some hitting pitchers, specifically one guy. Okay, it was one at bat. I get it. But how can you tell me that wasn't awesome to see Bartolo Colon go yard and, of all places, Petco Park?
Oh, man, that home run trot lasted about 58 seconds.
It was amazing. Oh,
it was great. He rocked it, too.
He's the oldest player to ever hit his first home run. How about that?
That was amazing. It was great. It was to see the Mets in the clubhouse, like, run out.
They loved it.
Disappeared on them. Oh, it was awesome.
Yep.
And look, the Mets are up a half game on the Nationals.
Yep.
We know they're pitching. You got Bartolo as your fifth starter. Man, You're looking
good. You're feeling good.
Yoenis Cespedes is hitting good. Michael Conforto got off to a great start.
I'm digging Michael Conforto.
Do like
really
him.
Digging him.
Nationals. Look, Dusty Baker makes a difference here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Huge difference. This team, we forget that they were leading the division at the All-Star break. And then that's when Matt Williams basically, at that point, he had already lost the team. Now, the Nationals, they did just get swept by the Cubs. But I thought overall on their road trip, look, they went to Kansas City, they took 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
They went to St. Louis, where they really don't play well, took 2 out of 3. Cubs series was tough. They lost them, losing 13 innings. The Saturday game, they got outlasted. It happens.
Yeah, each game was competitive.
Each
You're
game
right.
was really, really competitive, and they had leads in those games. What the Cubs did was take the bat out of Bryce Harper's hands, which it'd be really interesting to see if that trickles down to the rest of the National League teams.
Absolutely.
Because you look at Bryce Harper, after that, Ryan Zimmerman, you never know when he's going
Zimmerman,
on the DL.
I saw some incredible stat about that game, that 13-inning game, or the game where he got 6 walks. He left 14 runners on base.
Whew.
14! Yeah,
oh,
they need a guy. You know what was the name I was thinking of with the trade market for Washington? Ryan Braun. If they're willing, if the Brewers are willing and they're willing, how about that? If you put him right in front of or right behind Bryce Harper, suddenly maybe you don't want to just walk him because then you got to face Ryan Braun.
That is a good call. That is because you have
that's the caliber they need. That's the caliber of player they're going to need to make teams think twice about pitching around Bryce Harper.
So you bring up a great point, Cody, with Ryan Braun, because the Nationals do have pieces. Looking at second baseman Trey Turner, you know what he's doing right now in AAA? He played a little bit last year in September, didn't get off to a great start, batted, I believe, like .227. But right now in AAA, he's batting .337, has 8 stolen bases. The power's coming around. He hit a walk-off single yesterday. He's been killing the ball down there at AAA. Daniel Espinosa hasn't really been batting well. Talk about Ryan Braun. The Brewers are looking to reload and rebuild. It could start with that guy right there, Trey Turner. And if you trade him, if you could get a Ryan Braun in Washington to go along with Bryce Harper, to go along with Dusty Baker to wait and start. Look, Steven Strasburg's back. He's been pitching well. I do worry about Gio Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. What I saw with Gio is his fastball, the velocity is down 2.3 miles per hour from a year ago. That's not good.
That's bad.
Not good. But you know what you're going to get out of Max Scherzer? Don't sleep on the Nationals. This is going to be a fun race. We didn't even talk about Miami.
Miami and Philadelphia.
We both, I think, feel like Philadelphia will fade.
Yeah, they will. But
they'll
you know
fade.
What?
But they have some pitching. They're tough.
They'll definitely be better than what we thought.
Look.
I mean, there was thought that they might be last place, even worse than the Braves. I mean, Braves are historically bad right now. They're awful.
I was going to say, unlike the Atlanta Braves, the Philadelphia Phillies, with the Busch Stadium, yes, they lost 3 out of 4 to the Cardinals, but they were competitive in those games. Those games went into the late innings. This team is scrappy, man. They're a fun team. They could pitch.
They can
Gomez
pitch.
Has over 11 saves. Hector Neris, as their setup guy, already has 27 strikeouts.
Vince Velasquez, Aaron Nola, Jared Eichhoff. I mean, these guys can pitch.
We talk about Atlanta fleecing or swindling the Arizona Diamondbacks.
What are about to talk about here?
The Ken Giles trade.
Yeah.
Oh, they robbed the Houston Astros, Cody.
And they still got, what, didn't they get Mark Appel in that
they
trade,
They got Mark
too?
Appel, too.
He's still in the minors.
Yeah.
They're going to be just fine for a while.
Yep.
Who would have thought the moment they get rid of Ruben Amaro, things just take a nice little
go
turn.
Go figure.
Yeah, right? Jeez. This is going to be a really fun race, and I think the longer the Phillies can stay in it, it's just going to be a blast if they can stay in it. But Miami, they've got some talent there. Of course, we know Giancarlo. Yeah. I mean, Martin Prado's leading the league in batting average.
Hey, he was a guy I wanted the Giants to trade for all last year. Remember, people thought we were relatives because I talked about the guy so much.
Christian Yelich is having a great season. Yep. And, of course, we already talked Giancarlo. We know what that guy can do.
Marcell Ozuna looks like he's bounced back from a year ago.
Yeah, and I mean, anytime you've got Giancarlo and Jose Fernandez on the same roster, you're going to win some ballgames. And you know what? We give Don Mattingly a lot of flack out here at the Bay Area, but the guy knows how to manage a ball club. He can manage a ball club, man. It comes down to those small decisions that he just cannot do quite right. And I think he over-abuses the replay rule.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think he can bring this team to
three straight National League West titles. You don't just win divisions like that. He managed the pitching.
Yep.
You know, like you said, it's just too many personalities, too many egos, and the little stuff, the little details, the replay stuff, like you said, Eddie. That gets in the way, but I think he learned from that.
So who comes out on top in this division? do you think when it's all said and done? I mean, the Mets seem to be the favorites with the pitching, but Nationals have that balance right now. And I failed to mention Tanner Roark, was in the bullpen last year, was a good starter for them.
He's pitching good.
And he's pitching
really well. Yep. This is a tough one, Cody, because I remember last year we were both at the All-Star break, and I went ahead and was like, you know what, the Mets are surging. Let's just ride with the Mets. I believe they're going to outlast the Nationals because the Nationals weren't mentally strong. This year they're a little stronger mentally, and that's the Dusty Baker influence. They got Mike Maddux in there also on that bench helping out with the pitchers. I'm just going to stick with the Mets because they just have that mojo. Yoenis Cespedes has been perfect for them. He's starting to get going. Like you said, Conforto is a good guy. Kid rose through the minor leagues. I believe he was a single A to start last, 2015. Now he's batting number three for the New York Mets. David Wright, health-wise, will be interesting to see. Health is going to determine the factor.
Yeah.
The team that is going to – and you could say that about any division, but I think more so here because the Mets with the pitching is going to be in all these games. One thing to watch, though, Matt Harvey, his velocity is down a bit.
Yeah,
he's struggled out the gates. Steven Matz has been good. But do you trust him in a big game? He did have a very good World Series game, but do you trust him? Noah Syndergaard, if he just trusts his fastball, might be the most electric pitcher in baseball. I know that's crazy of me to say that, but his stuff is that good. I don't know, man. This is a tough one, Cody. I'm going to lean Mets here.
Yeah, I will too, just because of the pitching, but I think the Nationals are going to make the necessary moves. I think what they saw in Chicago, the way that worked, pitching around Bryce Harper even that much.
Yes.
I mean, six walks, and then they even hit him once by accident.
And not to make them pay for that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason Wirth, look, they might just dump that. I don't know what they can do with that contract. I don't know how many years are left on that contract and the money, but you made a great Ryan Bronson, the Nationals, man.
Makes a lot of
You're making some good calls on this podcast. I'm impressed, Cody. I'm impressed here.
That's what I do. Let's go on to the seventh inning. It is time to stretch. And we will come back with an interview with the younger brother of Nolan Arenado. But don't just know him as the younger brother of Nolan. This guy can make a name for himself. He's a talented young ball player playing in the San Francisco Giants organization down in San Jose. Jonah Arenado. I had a chance to talk to him. We'll have that for you in the seventh inning stretch. Don't go anywhere on the Double Play Podcast. Talking with Jonah Arenado, San Jose Giants third baseman designated hitter. Jonah, thanks for taking the time to talk to me. And standing in the dugout here, it was another wet day in San Jose. And I know it was kind of a weird start to the season for you guys. That first series against Lancaster, I think you guys only got in one game. So was it a little hard to kind of get into the groove for the ball club, having that sort of disjointed start to the season?
Yeah, well, I've never had that before. I ran out for a full series like that. But I know for me personally, I wasn't feeling great the first day, so I want to see more pitches, you know, the most pitches as possible to get my rhythm going and stuff like that. So to have those days off, it kind of sucked. But at the same time, you put things in perspective, you know, relax and just wait for it to come to you, stuff like that. So I got to work in the cage with coaches and stuff like that. So think about that. So even though it sucks not seeing pitches, it's nice to have a couple of days to kind of regather and get ready to go.
Now, you guys it was kind of an up and down April. You came into this last series against Stockton at 10-11. Nice four-game sweep. Now you guys second place, 14-11. How are you guys feeling right now? How's the clubhouse feeling after that big four-game sweep?
I mean, we know we're a good team. We know we have something special here. We had a bad series against Visalia, but that was just, you know, that happens. You know, that happens throughout the year. But, it was like nothing. Nothing changed. It didn't seem like it fazed us much. You know, we went to Stockton and just played the same thing. It seemed like we played the same exact game, and it just happened that, you know, we came out on top. And we know we're good, and we just got to stay confident and just do the right, you know, do the little things, and that's all we need to do.
Now, when you were drafted, you started out as a shortstop in high school, if I'm correct, and now you're making the switch over to third base. Now, I think a lot of fans may not understand that there's quite a few challenges that probably come with that, going to from a position that you're comfortable with to something that you're not so comfortable with. Now, what have been the challenges that you've encountered making that transition, and how are you feeling? How are you getting accustomed over there?
Well, in high school, in travel ball, I always played third and first, but you're right. In my senior year of high school, I played shortstop. But, shortstop, you kind of feel like the captain. You run the infield, so you kind of have a little more time for everything. At third base, you get – you know, it's called a hot corner for a reason. You get sharp balls, and sometimes you have more time than you think. Sometimes you need to hurry up. You know, watching guys that are fast, they like to bunt. So there's been some challenges, but I feel like, you know, we've done a lot of work in the offseason, and I feel a lot better over there and more comfortable.
Talking to Jonah Arenado, San Jose Giants, and I want to know, what is your pregame regimen? You see your name on the lineup card, you know you're going to start. How do you get into the mood? How do you get your mindset for a game?
Well, when I see it, I mean, I always come to the field ready to play, expecting I'm going to be in the lineup. If I get a day off, then, you know, it's just a day off. But I always come ready to go, and I see my name in the lineup, I get ready, start getting mentally ready. I go in and take some hacks in the cage, go stretch, go throw, and then go hit, take more hacks, and then BP, and I just try to get my routine done and just try to get that feeling that I know I'm ready to go. And then before the game, kick a few more hacks, and then just try to mentally lock in and try to just get focused and, you know, see this guy report on the pitcher and just kind of get ready for what do you think he's going to throw you.
Now I want to ask you, who are some of the guys that either maybe growing up or even in today's game that you look towards as role models that you sort of try to emulate on the field?
Oh, man. I mean, of course, Jeter's the easy one. I liked Evan Longoria a lot growing up. He didn't seem like he's a loud guy. Just kind of goes about his business and just seems like a good ball player. Watched my brother go through the system. I've kind of seen some of the Rocky players, so I've kind of liked the Rockies players growing up too, or coming up now. So, like, Carlos Gonzalez, I always admired his swing. I think he has the best swing in baseball. Troy Tulowitzki, I think, you know, the way he goes about his business, very focused and very locked in. And, you know, my brother's one of those guys too. The way he goes about his business, I feel like he's a good role model. And so those guys I like.
Now, I know, of course, the Rockies are in town or in San Francisco. And I know you guys obviously both have busy schedules this weekend. But are you going to try and get in touch with him or try and meet up at some point if you guys have a little time in the schedule this weekend?
Yeah, if we have some time, for sure. I know we have a game tomorrow at 5. So if we get done with that early enough and then wait for him for his game after, maybe we could see each other. But, yeah, it's tough. You know what I mean? We have, you know, long days here. So we'll see. Hopefully.
What was that competition, the two of you growing up, that brotherly competition, was that something that you think made you a better ball player and has really helped you here now that you're going towards that dream of making it to the show one day?
Yeah, no doubt. All my family, cousins and everything, we've been very competitive. Everything we do, wiffle ball, ping pong, pool, everything we do is very competitive. So, and then now we're both playing the schedule every day in the off season, working out together. He definitely pushes me to try to, you know, to be on his level. And if I'm doing things that Bigler is doing, I feel like I have a good chance. So he's always pushing me, and I try to be, you know, everything we do. If we're hitting that day, I try to do better than him in that day. Taking ground balls, I try to be better than him at ground balls, but it definitely helps me.
And then one more for you. And, you know, I'm not sure if it's either, does it add more pressure having a bigger brother in baseball and playing in the major leagues, maybe a little more pressure, or maybe the other side where you can look to him for some guidance and talk to him about, like, hey, what did you do to get up here, or what are some of the things, you know, just kind of pick his brain of how he did it and how he went about his business trying to make it to the major leagues?
You know, when I first got drafted, I felt pressure. I felt like, oh, man, you know, everyone that saw what he did, maybe they're expecting the same thing from me. But at the same time, I've come to realize that we're different players. You know, we're brothers, and we might have the same swing. People say we might look the same, but no matter what, we're different players, and we're going to have different journeys. So at first, I thought, you know, what's pressure, because I always expect, you know, people expecting another Arenado he's got to be there too. But at the same time, you know, this game's hard, man. This game is a hard game, and the more I've played, the more I realize, like, it's tough. And, you know, hopefully I do make it there one day. But I'm my own player, my own journey, so I try to focus on myself.
Absolutely. And you can check out Jonah Arenado and the rest of the San Jose Giants. Come to Municipal Stadium in San Jose and check out the San Jose Giants. Jonah, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks once again to Jonah Arenado of the San Jose Giants. On to the eighth inning. Let's talk about the Los Angeles Angels. And you want to talk about the wheels falling off the wagon. I don't think there's any wheels left at this point. No. They get some terrible news about Garrett Richards, who he had a pretty bad injury a few years ago.
Yes.
And was out at the end of the year.
It happened right before the postseason.
That's right. That's right. And now he's out. Tommy John surgery. He's out till next season. We hear Andrew Heaney. He's going to get checked on. He's got close to the same problem. He may have to go under the knife. We heard Andrelton Simmons today. He's hurt. He's going to be out for an extended period of time. He was their big acquisition this offseason, the great defensive shortstop formerly of the Braves. There are so many missing pieces. I want to say they only have three options starting pitcher-wise right now.
And one of them is Jared Weaver, who's throwing like 81-mile-an-hour fastballs.
Yeah, exactly. there's a lot of issues with this team. And we already knew their farm system has nothing.
Nothing.
So they can't even call up anybody in the system. Like, oh, maybe we'll call up this young pitcher that, oh, wait, we don't have that. We have nobody ready. Nothing. So the crazy idea has been thrown out there, Bonte. I mean, it's crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy enough to work, though. Maybe you trade Mike Trout. I mean, think about what you'd get. You would probably get 3 to 4 major league ready players and probably 2 prospects, 2 top prospects. Now, you have to give up Trout. You have to give up the face of the franchise, the guy you've invested a lot of money into. But when you're this decimated, when your farm system is this empty, you at least have to consider it, right?
I think you do because, like you said, this farm system has been depleted. Mike Socha, I don't know what he should have been fired maybe 5 years ago. Not fired per se, but he's lived off that World Series win in 2002. He's milked that gravy train.
Yeah, he has.
Albert Pujols, that signing, we all knew was like kind of a head scratcher.
Yep.
Because of the money and the years, and now you see what Pujols at where he's at the stage in his career with the foot problems. I don't believe he's batting 200 right now. You might have to do it. You might have to overhaul this whole franchise, man. This team, we knew coming in, Cody, that this team was going to be near the bottom of the AL West. We knew they were going to struggle to win 70 to 75 games. Now it doesn't look like they're going to even do that in the AL West with the Astros and the Rangers and Seattle playing well. Trading Mike Trout, you're not going to get whatever you trade for Mike Trout, you're not going to get the value back.
That's the tough
part. You're never going to do that. But you have to at least get you 2 frontline starters and 3 hot prospects, a bat. You just never the thing about trading him is you just get the contract off the books, which is still a pretty team-friendly contract concerning what Mike Trout does.
And how young he is.
It's just – it's awful, man, that they could not build around Mike Trout. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, surprisingly –
I'm lost for words, man.
I don't want to say he's off to a quiet start, but I bet people didn't even notice. He's once again batting 313. Yep. He's got 7 bombs. He's got a 964 OPS.
Yep.
Business as usual for Mike Trout. Same old, same old. But, you know, the guy's a remarkable player. We all know that. I heard a proposal – for something like the Red Sox, where maybe they say, hey, we'll give you Mike Trout. We'll take Blake Swihart, catcher. We'll take Xander Bogaerts. We'll take Mookie Betts. And we'll take 2 or 3 prospects. That would have me thinking. If the Red Sox came to the Angels with that, I would think about it if I was in the Angels' position. Because, one, you're all up the middle. That's awesome. That you can just replace your center fielder and then you can just get so strong up the middle.
Right.
But it's going to take that type of deal where you're giving up literally 2 all-stars, a promising young catcher, and 2 or 3 your top prospects. It's going to be a king's ransom to get Mike Trout. And I think at the very least, if the Angels are out of it and they really are not finding anything depth-wise, maybe you don't do it this year. I don't think you do it in midseason because you're not going to get the value.
No, and you're going to have nobody going to those games in August and September.
Yes.
You still need to sell some tickets and some merchandise.
But this winter meetings might as well say, hey, Trout's out there. We're not trying to give him away. That's the thing. They can't be like, we're really trying to get rid of Trout to build our system. You can't look desperate. But they can at least say, if you want Trout, he's available. And here's what we want. And I think that the offers will come flying in. If there's one guy who is going to get, who's going to make a team say, yeah, we'll give up 3 promising young players and 3 promising young major league ready players or even all-stars. You're going to probably have to give up a couple all-stars.
You know who has experience? It's funny you bring up Boston. Who's the general manager in Boston right now? Dave Dombrowski. In Detroit. He was able to snatch up Miguel Cabrera. He was able to snatch up with David Price.
He likes these deals.
He loves these deals. Oh, you know he's licking his chops.
That would be interesting. And the Red Sox are kind of the best trade partner right now.
And look,
with all the young talent they've got.
And look, you know what he could do as well? hey, here's Panda Sandoval. Here's Pablo Sandoval, excuse me. He's trimmed weight. He still can play first or third base. We'll throw him in. So you get that contract off the books.
We'll even eat part of that contract.
We'll eat part of that contract to get Mike Trout to Boston.
Makes a lot of sense. But
Mr.
right
Dombrowski,
now,
I'm looking at you.
It's all fantasy for now.
Make it happen. Get him out of that dump in Anaheim or California. What are they? The Los Angeles Angels or
Los
California
Angeles Angels Anaheim, of Anaheim.
Whatever. They had like five different names already. Whatever. The Angels. Get him out of there. We want to see him play. Mike Trout needs to be on a national. He needs to be on a national stage. He needs to be playing in the bright lights.
Well, LA is the national stage.
And Anaheim. Nobody. That's a Dodger town. That's a Dodger town. Point Come down. On. So.
Ninth inning, and let's get out of the fantasy world and talk about some series to watch for the week, Bonte. Any series that you're keeping an eye on this week?
You know, I was looking at the Pirates Cubs, but I'm actually going to look at Coors Field. I'm going to look at the New York Mets and the Colorado Rockies. We just watched Colorado come to AT&T Park and split the series, and they had that. They put up 13 runs in an inning, that fifth inning last Thursday night at AT&T Park against the Giants. Be interested to see how these Mets pitchers pitch at Coors Field. It's a big outfield. We know the Rockies can hit. Matt Harvey would be pitching in one of those games. We'll see Bartolo Colon in one of those games, I believe. We'll see Syndergaard. We'll see DeGrom, Jacob DeGrom. Rockies-Mets will be interesting to me. Look, the Rockies have been playing respectable baseball. They've actually been okay on the road. They're 15-16 right now. Hey, they're in the hunt. They think they can win the National League West, and they've adopted that philosophy from the Royals. And we've seen that with the Yankees now with Andrew Miller, Aroldis Chapman, and Betances. All they're doing is asking their starters to go six innings. We'll turn it over to the bullpen. Jake McGee back there closing. The bullpen's been real strong. Chad Qualls has been solid. Mets, Rockies, Cody is my series to watch this upcoming weekend.
Interesting choice.
Interesting
That's a really
choice.
Interesting choice. I figure
we get the Rockies in here at some point, right?
Hey, they look. You know what? They're not going to be slouches, man.
Yeah.
They're not going to go to the playoffs, but
no.
You know, a surprising third place finish with the way the Diamondbacks have started. It's not crazy.
Not crazy.
Not a crazy thought. And when you got Nolan Arenado, anything's possible.
It's going to be a fun series. Nolan Arenado, Carlos Gonzalez against that pitching.
Good call. Good call. I'm looking at the Astros and the Red Sox.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one because the Astros, I mean, they haven't turned it on yet. They got to at some point.
Yep.
And the pitching has struggled. Dallas Keuchel in his last start, though, was encouraging. I think he went seven innings, two earned runs, and the two runs were just homers.
Right.
So I'm very encouraged to see that, but the rest of the pitching staff needs to step it up.
Yeah,
Colin McHugh, all these guys, they've got to get it going. And the Red Sox in Fenway, it'll be a test. I think it's going to be a really good test, especially for the Red Sox, too, who are off to a good start. But I'm not completely sold on the Red Sox at this
point.
Not
yet. Porcello, he's okay. He's gotten off to a great start. Yeah. David Price, we need to see him get it going. He's been getting hit around. His ERA is over six.
He does.
Man, all that money he just got broke off. We need to see something out of David Price. And these teams, I believe, battled a couple weeks ago in Houston. And I believe the Red Sox took two out of three down there in Houston.
They did.
They had that big Sunday night game. I believe it was a marathon game. But it'd be a fun series. I looked at this one. This would be fun to watch.
Yep. And two other ones, both involving the Dodgers and one involving the previously mentioned Mets. Mets and Dodgers are playing each other this week. And Cardinals and Dodgers in the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So two matchups of possible playoff teams.
Any Cubs series is worth mentioning. Pirates, Cubs. Let's see if the Pirates can, like, bully these guys back. Punch back a little bit. They got ousted in the NL wild card game by the Cubs. They got swept at home at PNC Park by the Cubs. Kid, Sean Rodriguez, he needs to pipe down. Seriously, he needs to chill. He got into a shouting match with the Cubs. Relax, dude. Seriously. I'm so sick of him, man.
Know your role.
Know your role. You're a bench player. You're a role player. Calm the heck down. But I want to see if the Pirates can punch these guys back at Wrigley Field and give the Cubs something to think about in the division. Because the Cubs think they're going to just run away with it, and they right now own the Pirates. So, Pirates, punch back at Wrigley Field. Let me see you do something against these Cubs.
Let them fight. Let's get
Let them fight.
Yeah.
Except for Rodriguez.
No. Yeah, I want to see that. That division's going to be more competitive, I think, than we've seen early on. Well, that'll wrap things up for us. If you haven't done so already, make sure to go like us on Facebook. Go follow us on Twitter at DoublePlay_pod. And You can listen to us. Maybe you're doing it right now on audioboom.com. And, of course, subscribe to us, review us, rate us on iTunes. But until next time, for Bonta Hill, I'm Cody Pasby. 9 innings, 9 topics every week right here on the Double Play Podcast.
The Double Play Podcast with Bonta Hill and Cody Pasby.